Okay, today is Wednesday, April 11th. This is the Women's Chumashir. We're up to Bereshit, Perek Tet Zayin.
Okay, Rabotai. Okay, Rabotai, we are up to Bereshit, Perek Tet Zayin. We had just started the new Perek. We'll start again, as there has been a couple of week break. So we'll start again at the beginning of Perek Tet Zayin, which focuses on the birth of Yishmael, Sarah's reaction to Yishmael, and God's angel coming to rescue Hagar and Yishmael. So the Torah stated, I'm sure you remember this, at the beginning of Perek Tet Zayin, V'Sarai Eshet Avram Lo Yolda Lo, Sarai, the wife of Avram, did not produce a child for him, V'Loh Shivcha Mitzrit Ushma Hagar. And she, Sarai, had a maidservant, an Egyptian one, her name was Hagar. Vatomer Sarai el Avram, Hineina Atzarani Hashem Miledet, God has stopped me or precluded me from having a child. Bona el Shivchati, come and have relations with my Shivcha. Ulai Ibane Mimena, perhaps I will be able to build a family from her. Vayishma Avram Likol Sarai, and Avram listened to what Sarah had just suggested. Vatikach Sarai Eshet Avram et Hagar HaMitzrit Shivchata. Sarai, the wife of Avram, took Hagar, the Egyptian slave, her slave, Miketz Eser Shanim Loshevet Avram Be'eretz Kanaan, at the end of a 10-year period, after Avram had settled at least 10 years in Eretz Kanaan, Vatitain Ota LeAvraham Isha Lo LeIsha. And she gave Hagar unto her husband, the first time it's Isha, her husband, Lo, as a wife. He gave Hagar to her husband as a wife. And fine, that's what the Torah reports initially. So we had seen Rashi, who claimed that this was Bat Paro, we're going to see several remarks of the Ramban about how careful this time Avram was of Sarai's feelings, at least for these three psukim. He may not have been as concerned about his feeling or her feelings in three pasuk four, but at least for the first three psukim, Avram is extremely sensitive to Sarai's feelings. So let's take a look at, on page number one, two of the comments of the Ramban to document what I just said. Comment number one. Ramban asks on the phrase at the end of Pasuk Bet, Vayishma Avram Lekol Sarai. And Avram listened to the voice of Sarai. It's a very unusual phrase. What should it have said in order to indicate that Avram did exactly what Sarai suggested? Vayas Cain, and that's exactly what he did. That phrase, Vayas Cain, appears hundreds of times in the text. That Aaron did whatever he was told, Moshe did what he was told. What do you mean, Vayishma Avram Likol Sarai? Says the Ramban. Lo amar hakatuv vayas kein. It does not say or use the standard expression of vayas kein. Aval amar ki shama lekol sarai. Yirmoz. This indicates to us ki af al pi she Avram mitave maod libanim. despite the fact that Avram was craving the opportunity to have a child, lo asa kein b'lo reshut Sarai. He did not seek another partner with whom to build a family until he received Sarai's consent. And that's why it says, l'kol Sarai. V'gam ata, and now that even Hagar is being offered to Avram, lo nitkaven shiyibaneh hu mehagar, his intention was not to necessarily have a child from Hagar, aval kol kavanato la'asot ritzon Sara shetivne mimena. He really wanted that just to follow whatever Sarai felt comfortable with. And that if Sarai perceives that she will be building a family via Hagar, that's fine and dandy with Avram. So, according to the Ramban, there is absolutely nothing in Avram's behavior that would indicate that he initiated any of this, and that it's quite the contrary. He would not have done anything despite the fact that he is craving for a child. Nonetheless, here he's just sublimating his own desires and trying to fulfill Sarah's wishes. Shiyeh la nachat ruach bivnei shivchata, that perhaps she will find the servant's son pleasing unto her, Sarai. O zechut shetizkehi libanim ba'avur kein kidivrei raboteinu, that on account of the fact that she grants Avram an opportunity to have a child, perhaps that merit alone will be sufficient to enable her to have her own child. So all of this, according to the Ramban, is initiated by Sarai, and Avram is playing along with this completely. And for this reason, it says, it uses this expression, it uses the expression, l'kol Sarai. That's how the Ramban makes this huge description to impress upon us how sensitive Avram was to Sarai, and that whatever he did was only in reaction to her suggestions, nothing on his own. Nothing on his own. Yeah.
Well, like maybe this is like a new thought, because they don't talk about any of the men taking other wives. Until now. And then like maybe...
Okay, we haven't come across anybody who's been described as an Akara.
Right.
Even though I imagine there were others. What?
It's a whole new concept for Avram. Like he hasn't seen it with other people.
What? Hasn't seen what? That
they
somebody...
Another wife,
we have no idea.
Right.
Well, the Torah doesn't tell us.
Right.
But one could have imagined that many had... That was the standard procedure at that time, that you had multiple wives.
Yeah.
And so therefore it would be no shock. Even though the Torah doesn't record it, because there's no relevance up until this particular point in time. But I thought you were going to ask the question which the Midrash will ask, yes?
Go ahead.
Yeah?
I thought Hashem used that same term, Shmalikoyah.
But Kolash, yes. Kolasher Tomar Sarah, that's when Avram, right, when Avram is reacting negatively to Sarah's request to get rid of Yishmael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pipes in and says, Kol Asher Tomar Elecha Sarah Shema B'Kola. So that's, again, that would be a very nice, you know, it doesn't just say Ta'aseh, whatever, so Shema B'Kola. Listen to what she is saying. Listen to what she's saying. And we will comment when we get to that, it's the end of the middle of Parshat Vayera, that it's trying to say, not just to listen to her, but that her understanding as to who Yishmael is was far superior than Avram's. Avram was reluctant because this was his son and he didn't want to give up. But Sarai's understanding of what he is going to represent and become was more sophisticated, and Rashi will quote the Midrash that she had a greater degree of Ruach HaKodesh than Avram did. That's what it really means. That's according to Rashi. Yeah.
I wonder too if the emphasis on the Vayishma Avraham Lekol Sarai is more emphasis on process also. It would have been easier to just say Vayashma, you know, like he saw a need and he just did something to resolve the situation. But here the emphasis is on the process, to listen, to talk it out, to give her the opportunity to express her sadness. And then
yes, that's a very good point. And it'll come.
It's a very good point,
and Rashi or others will harp on it when it will say that Sarai actually takes Hagar and brings her into the house. He was so in tune with Sarai's feelings that even after she made the suggestion, he didn't go out and say, you know what, let's get married or something like that. He waited until Sarai brought Hagar into the house and said, okay, please go marry her. It will be pointed out in 2 seconds.
What was the question that you're waiting for?
What?
You're waiting for a question from the Midrash that you thought Shari was going to ask.
As to whether, how come the other avot, none of this was ever proposed to the other akarot of the patriarchal family and matriarchal family? We know that they were all, or many of them, were akarot. How come this suggests? So let's take a look at the Medrash which the Ramban is quoting for a second. Please go to page number 4 of the handout. And we are going to find a Midrash that is picking up on the sensitivity that the Ramban undoubtedly gleaned from this Medrash, and is going to be highly critical of Yaakov in relationship to Rachel. Highly critical, says the Midrash. This is a Midrash, Medrash Rabbah, on Parshat Vayetze. When after Leah already had 4 children, Rachel comes and says, you know, to Yaakov that, Havali Banim. Exactly. So let's read the Midrash. The Midrash says, on the top of the page, Rabbanan Droma'a, rabbis in the south of Eretz Yisrael, B'shem Rabbi Alexandre, in the name of Rabbi Alexander, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. There is a pasuk in Iyov which states, Hechacham Ya'ane Da'at Ruach. The wise person will answer with a spirit, with a response that intimates to us that the person had an awareness, a godly awareness. Ruach meaning a spirit of God. So the Chacham answers in accordance with something that you would anticipate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh, claims the Midrash, Avraham. This is Avraham. What pasuk as a support for this idea that Avram responded with a measure with a measured response, which now earned him the title, according to Iov, of a chacham, and responding with a godly or spirited response? The pasuk which we just read, Vayishma Avram Lekol Sarai. And now the second half of the pasuk says, "Vayimale kadim bitno," and you fill a stomach. Bitno beten is a stomach. You fill a stomach with nothing but hot air. Kadim is an easterly wind. Ruach kadim azah. We read it on Shvi Shel Pesach that Iov is. Obviously has 2 different approaches. Sometimes people answer in a godly way, and sometimes people respond with a bunch of hot air. Who is that? Ze Yaakov. That refers to Yaakov. When the Torah tells us, Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel, Yaakov got angry with Rachel. Vayomer, and he said, what did he say? Hasachas Elohim ani? Am I in what? Am I in lieu of God? Kimana Elohim pribatem? That I am I responsible for that? That is nothing but hot air filling your stomach. In other words, a highly inappropriate remark of Yankala. Omale Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Excuse me, just one second. Hello?
Hi, help you.
I'm in the middle of the share.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. Okay. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, Kach onim et hami'ikot? Is this the way you respond to a woman who is unfortunately not having any children when the other wife already had four children? And when we get to that in Parshas Vayetze, we will see the Midrash which stated that Rachel and Leah had a certain nivuah, recognizing that they're ultimately going to be four wives for Yankala. Not two, four wives. And therefore they figured out that each one should have three children, and that each one would be an equal participant in the development of what? Of the basis of Am Yisrael. So when Leah gives birth to child number four, she already recognizing that she's encroaching on one of the wives. Now the one who was married, Yaakov at this time when this story happens, is not yet married to Bilhah and Zilpah. That's going to be Rachel's suggestion. You know what? I'm going to follow, that's going to be Yaakov's advice to, give me one of your servants and I'll marry her and you'll build a child, a family through her. So let's see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kach onim et hami'ikot? Is this the way you talk to a person who is so downtrodden on account of the fact that she has none and your other wife already has one over the allotment? One over the allotment. Chayecha, I swear by your life, Shebanecha atidim la'amod lifnei binah. I swear to you, Yankala, that your children are going to have to stand in front of her son, and they're going to be intimidated by her son. I swear to you, that's going to happen. Vayomer, and Yaakov continued to say to his wife, Hatachat Elohim Anochi Asher Mona Mimech Pribata? Am I in lieu of God who decided to hold back children from you? Mimech Mana. Mimeni lobana. I already have four kids. What do you have to be a cup? You're the one who doesn't have any children. Ouch is right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pleased, according to this Midrash, with Yaakov's statement. Omra lo, kach asa avicha le'imecha? Did your father do this to what? To your mother? Lo chagar matnav kinegda? Did he not put on his gartel? Chagar matnav. Did he not put on his gartel as he faced her? What does that mean, put on his gartel? He's doing davening. He's davening. That's what you do when you daven. You have to have some type of belt on. So in the chassidish world, you wear a gartel. In the yeshiva world, you just wear a belt. But the symbol that you are ready to pray is called Chagurat Matnav. Did not your father put on his girdle to daven on behalf and facing her? Because it says in Parshat Toldot that Yitzchak daven lenochach ishto, facing her. Omar la, so Yaakov defends himself. Avi lo hayalo banim. Sure, he went and prayed on behalf of Rivka, but he didn't have any kids either. He didn't have any kids. Avalani yeshli banim. I have kids, so why should I pray for you? It's almost unthinkable as to what Yaakov is saying according to the Midrash. Amra lo, so she said to him, Uzikeinecha lo haya lo banim, v'chogar matnav keneged Sarah. Your grandfather did not have any children either, and yet he also did pray on behalf of Sarah. Do we have any evidence in the text that Avraham davened on behalf of Sarah? That he davened on behalf of Sarah? We don't really have any evidence to that effect. We don't have any evidence to that. But give me a phrase which we are focusing on this particular pasuk, which would now expand what that word means in the eyes of this midrash. What phrase am I referring to? Exactly. Vayishma Avram lekol Sarai. What do you think Sarai would have suggested to Avram before she came up with this great idea to give Hagar? What do you think she probably did? Avram, go daven. Let's daven together. So the text does not say it, but it's in the Midrash's understanding of this phrase, that's exactly what happened. What? No, but it says the Chagar Matnav Kineged Sarah. He girded his loins Kineged Sarah, and I'm going to elaborate on in a second about the imagery of girding your loins. Amar lo, so Yaakov says, okay, Yechola at laasot kishen shaasta zikenati. You can do exactly what my grandfather did. Amra lo, or my grandmother did. Amra lo, she said to him, Ma asta, what did your grandmother do? Amar lo, hichnisa tsarata l'toch beita. He took another wife by her recommendation, and as I told you last time, the another wife is always identified as a tsara, competition, as a pain. Tsara is a pain. Because the second wife living currently is only going to create problems. Amra lo, im hadavar hazeh me'akev, if this is going to preclude me from what? Having a child, hine amasi bila bo'eleha v'ibane gam anochi. I will build a family via what? Through the child that will be granted to Bilhah. And in fact, the Ramban believes that a child is called a bain, at least a son, but all children are called banim because of banit, to build. That's why a child is called a bain, because the family builds itself a legacy. How? Through the children. Through the children. What?
And the bat is a bait. The ben is libanot.
Yes, yes, yes. Good. Yes, in Megillah Esther. Asher lekacha Mordechai lo libat. That's what it says in the text. The Gemara says it means as a wife, not as a daughter, but as a wife, libayit. Yes.
The Rambam is very kind here to Avram, but initially, is he very critical of Avram when he was going down to Mitzrayim?
Of course.
You said it was your sister.
Yes.
So there's kind of a mix here.
No, so in other words, the Ramban is willing to call spade a spade. When Avram acts inappropriately with Sarah, I'm going to let you know about it. When Avram acts with great sensitivity with Sarah, I'm going to let you know about it. That's fine. He's refreshingly honest. refreshing. And how did I know to look up this medrash? Because the Ramban says embraces Rabba. He's just quoting the midrash. Is the Ramban. Now this idea about the symbol of prayer is Chagurat Masnav is based on a pasuk, Vahaya Emuna Ezor Chalatzav. Ezor Chalatzav. The trait of Emuna is symbolized in Tanakh on many occasions by the girding of the loins with a girdle. Symbolized. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that the Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash and the Kohen Hedyot in the Beit HaMikdash had four similar types of clothing to one another. And in addition to that, the Kohen Gadol wore four more. So a Kohen Gadol wears eight garments, and a Kohen Hedyot wears four garments. Four of the eight that the Kohen Gadol wears are shared by the Kohen Hedyot. He wears a hat, he wears a shirt, he wears a pair of pants, and he wears a gartel. But all of them, three out of the four, there are differences, slight differences. It's a different type of hat, it's a different type of shirt. But by the gartel, Avneto shel Kohen Hedyot, who Avneto shel Kohen Gadol. And the way people interpret that is that when it comes to the trait of Emunah, which the Gartel is supposed to represent, it makes no difference who you are. A regular Pashut Yid can have as much Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Kohen Gadol. And to symbolize that, the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot wear the same Gartel. So prayer is all predicated on expressing trust in God, faith in God. If you don't have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is absolutely no reason to pray whatsoever. What are you praying to God if you don't believe that He's responsible for whatever condition you're facing? So the Midrash uses this imagery about Lachagor Matnav because if you want to engage in serious prayer, the underpinning of that is Emunah. Ezor Matnav, Bahaya Emunah, Ezor Chalotecha. It is Emunah that represents your girded loins. You have to have Emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to engage in any meaningful prayer. So here, Rachel, correctly according to the Midrash, attacks Yaakov, and therefore the Midrash is willing to apply the phrase in Eov that Yaakov's response was nothing but hot air that fills the stomach. That refers to Yaakov because his arguments are nonsense, are ridiculous, displaying a trait of total insensitivity to the feelings of Rachel. Yeah.
Just on the flip side of what you said about that a person who had, anybody who has Emunah and Hashem, we're all together, we're all equal, I think Hashem looks at it that way also. It doesn't make a difference who you are as a person of stature or not. Hashem's going to listen to everybody's tefillah.
Correct.
And we don't, He doesn't favor anybody just because, so everybody is all equal in the eyes of Hashem.
That is correct, yes. Yeah.
And also, I would think that Hashem, you can't blame Hashem for everything. You have to get into the action yourself. And his answer, "What am I, God?" It doesn't make any sense.
Well,
she's blaming him that she has no male.
She has no children.
And so. I think she's asking him to continue trying. And he's saying,
but,
"Oh my God!"
No, but there's no evidence that he stayed away from her. There is no evidence. In fact, according to the Midrash, and even it might even be indicative in the pasuk itself, his primary tent was with Rachel.
So why is she complaining?
Because she's saying, "Look, you know, we've tried, and you seem to have succeeded with Leah. How come you haven't succeeded with me?" So she blames it on him instead of taking. You know, it's a funny. I'm not saying that her, but from her point of view, we understand the frustration. We understand the frustration. His response is not terribly sympathetic. Yes.
His frustration is also understandable. Yeah. When Yosef says to the brothers, "Hatachan Elokim Anochi," so it would be more positive for Yosef to say, "Do tshuva to God, I'm not God." Or for Yaakov to say,
"That's nice, very nice.
Robin to God."
That's a very nice reference at the end of Sefer Bereishis when Yosef fabricates a story and says, "Avicha tziva lifnei moto lemar." Father told me to tell you this. It's a bunch of baloney. He never told him anything. But that's a very nice reference where he uses the exact same phrase, "Hasachas Elohim." That's excellent.
And both men.
Write it down. Publish
both,
it.
Both men are really the one who. Rachel and the brothers are not getting enough understanding, but Yaakov and Yosef are also overwhelmed by this overdependence and too big an image of themselves. That's also a burden. Like, he's everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that they, and Rachel is frustrated, but so is Yaakov. He just wanted to be one regular husband. And
he comes
into the mess.
Yosef
just wanted to be one regular brother.
Okay. Yeah.
And that kind of justifies the harshness of Yaakov's word in response to Rachel. But he might be reacting to something else that she said, which is unique, when she says, "Hava ligoni im ayin."
Meta anochi.
So that's really taking things to another level, to say, "I'm just going to die or impose, you know, death on myself." I don't know what she meant, but that's very dramatic. And maybe his words that seem very angry and insensitive, which they are, but maybe he's responding that to
that she's going a little overboard.
She's really...
It's an interesting read. It's an interesting read.
And it's not... But... In those words...
I hear. Perhaps we'll revisit that. When we do chapter 31, which that's the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph, we will revisit it. But it's good. I just don't. Exactly. Exactly. Correct. Correct. You know, it's as if I'm dying now, because it means that when I finally die, that's it. I have nothing to help. No continuity.
Continuity. Say that she's the only one who said that.
Right.
And his word.
But it's a very valid point. Very valid point. Yeah.
And to strengthen that a little bit, Sarah acknowledges that Hashem has restrained her from having a kid, whereas Rachel does not say that.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be reacting to.
Okay. That's very good. Very good.
And
excellent point.
When she had one.
What?
That's a serious attitude.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
There are a lot of
interpretations about that phrase, Yosef Ben Acher. When she's having one, she's already focusing on the next one. Yeah, we'll talk about it. But it's a good point. Let's move back to the Ramban for a minute, please. Now the Ramban, I'm still on that same Pasuk Bet in the Ramban, right after we looked at the Midrash. The Omar Od, Vatikach Sarai. It says at the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, Vatikach Sarai, Eshet Avram, Et Hagar HaMitzrit Shivchata. She, Sarai, the wife of Avram, took Hagar the Mitzrit, who was her servant. Says Rash, says the Ramban, Shlohodia Shalom Miher Avram Lidaber Lidavar Ad Shelakha Sarai Vinitna Bicheko. It's not that Avram said, "Oh, I got a pass. I'm charging out of here because I got a free pass. I'm going to run to Hagar." No. He waited until literally Sarai takes Hagar, brings her into the house. V'hizkir hakatuv Sarai eshet Avram li Avram isha lirmoz ki Sara lo nityaasha me Avram. Sarai did not give up any hope that she would father a child unto Avram, despite the fact that she is what? Giving Avram Hagar velo herchika atzma me'etzlo, and she did not distance herself. She didn't allow only Hagar to have relations with Avram. Ki hi ishto, she is his wife. Vehu isha, and he is her husband. Avol ratzta, but she wanted shetihiyeh gam Hagar ishto, that Avram should have Hagar in addition as a wife. Ulekach omar lo, that she's giving it as an isha. Sarai gives Hagar to Avram as a wife. Shelotiyeh kipilegesh, that Hagar should not be considered what? As a concubine, rak ka'ash ki'isha nisua lo, only as a wife who was fully married unto him. The choze moser Sara, and all of this is initiated what for, by Sara, v'hakavod she noheget biba'ala, that she is what maintaining the honor and dignity of Avram. This is all designed to indicate how well Sarah handled this for 2 minutes. Because she's, in 2 minutes, she caves in completely. But right now, she's doing it beautifully. Doing it beautifully. This halacha of Pilegesh is a topic that is discussed frequently in the Talmud. There is a status of a relationship between a man and a woman where she is called a pilegesh. And there is a famous debate between the Rambam and the Ramban who is permitted to engage in having a pilegesh. The Ramban believes it is only for a Melech Yisrael. Nobody else is permitted to engage in have a pilegesh, a concubine. The Rambam says the opportunity is available to everybody. What is the difference between a pilegesh and a wife? So one difference is that a pilegesh is not entitled to a ketubah when they marry her. You're not entitled to a ketubah. And a second difference is whether all of the obligations of exchange, and that's what the ksuva might represent, for example, a husband is obligated to provide food for his wife. In return, whatever the wife earns is now the profits of the earnings all go to the husband. So all of those mutual halachot, reciprocal halachot, husband has to give clothing and the wife has to give husband in whatever she finds, for example, mitziata, what she finds belongs to him. So all of that does not apply to a pilegesh. And later on in the text, we will see the Torah will use an expression after Sarai dies, it's the end of Parshat Chayisara, Avram remarries a woman by the name of Keturah. Now Rashi, right on the spot, will say that it happens to be Hagar. That is, she was thrown out of the house by Sarai, and now when Sarai dies, he marries her again, and the children are called Bnei Hapilagshim, the children of the concubine. Very much different than the way Sarah is setting it up according to the Ramban. She is not a Pilegesh, at least at this time. She wants to have a respectful relationship between Avram and Hagar, and this speaks to the, at least for the time being, the greatness of Sarai, that she could have just allowed her to just sleep with her, try to have a child, and that's it. But that's not the way she orchestrated it. She orchestrated it is that Hagar is a wife unto Avram, and if, for example, it was you know, under Jewish jurisdiction, if he wanted to get rid of her, he would have to give her a get. A pilegesh does not require a get. You just send her away and that's it. So the Ramban here emphasizes, because the Torah is going out of its way to say, emphasize, he is the husband, she is the wife, giving Hagar as a wife, it's done with extreme sensitivity. Of course.
For ownership?
No, it's done for marriage. It's for kinyan. I didn't want to bring that up because halachic engagement is viewed on the first level as acquisition. The word lakachat is the verb you form used to get married. Ki yikach ish isha. And it's the comparison is made to the purchase of the field that Avraham makes in order to acquire Marat HaMachpelah, when he buys it, and it's Nasati Kesaf HaSadeh Kach Mimeni. And that's how we learn out that we get engaged using and there's a tight. I just want to tell you that there's a titanic debate between the Rambam and the Rush about the use of the word kicha by kiddushin by halachic engagement. The Rush takes it seriously. The Rush takes it literally. That at first blush, what a husband engages his wife by giving her something of value, we do a ring, but it could be anything of value, it's as if he's acquiring a piece of property. And he brings a proof from this in the following fashion. What happens if a wedding date has been established, okay, and then the wife got sick and they couldn't get married? Is the husband obligated to provide her food from after the scheduled date of the wedding, even though they are not yet married? And the Rush says, yes, you're obligated to pay her food. And you know what expression, this is not his fault, it's the Gemara. You know what the Gemara says? You know why he's obligated to pay for her food? It's as if his field got flooded. Nistach basadeyu. I buy a piece of land, and then there's a flood, and nothing grows. You can't annul the deal. The deal is gone. It's tough luck. Your field got flooded. Here too, you engaged in kiddushin, and now comes the wedding date. That's when you have to pay for her clothing, right? That's when the credit card is handed over to Bloomingdale's and all the others. And then, if she gets sick and can't complete the relationship, it's just too bad. According to the Rush, you have to pay. The Ramban says, never, ever did the halakha wish to communicate that the relationship between a husband and wife is now to be identified as an acquisition of a piece of it. Never. It's used in a cute way, or not cute, but it's just a legal way, but it has no meaning whatsoever as a purchase of a piece of property. But the Rush does, and here the Ramban is going out of his way to tell us that this is a wife-husband relationship, and to give Sarah all of the credit in the world for this. I want to continue with another part of the Ramban. The text tells us in Pasuk Gimel that Vatikach Sarai Eshet Avram et Hagar Mitzvah Shibchata Miketz Eser Shanim L'Shevet Avram Be'eretz Kenan. When does Sarai give to Avram Hagar? At the end of 10 years, L'Shevet Avram Be'eretz Kenan. And there is a machloikis between the Ramban and the Rush, and the Ramban is going to get very angry right here in this text against the Rush because he thinks he made a serious halachic mistake. When is this taking place? At the end of 10 years. But 10 years To what time? Having been in Israel for what? For 10 years. So what impression do you get from, what impression do you get? I want you to now look at the Gemara for a second. Take a look at page number 5. So first, the first bracketed line, which is the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Masechet Yevamot. Nasa Isha, somebody got married to a woman, Vishaha Ima Eser Shanim, and he spent 10 years married to her, Velo Yolda, Eino Rasha'il Vatel. He should not give up the attempt to what? To have children. Okay? Very nice.
The
Vatel
means he should not cancel his efforts, or he should not divorce.
Should not cancel his efforts.
He should not divorce her.
It doesn't say he shouldn't divorce her.
Okay.
It does not say that. It just says he should not stop trying.
Okay.
So the simple way in the time of the Talmud not to stop trying means that what do? You marry somebody else. You do exactly what Hagar did with Avram. That's exactly what it means. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara doesn't interpret it that way. Tanu Rabbanan. Nasa isha v'shaha ima eser shanim v'lo yalda. Yotzi v'yiten ketubah. He should divorce her and pay her ketubah. Shema lo zacha lihibanot mimena. Why does he have to pay the ketubah? Because maybe it's his fault that they're not having children. You can't divorce her and blame her for not having a child. Afal pi she'ein ra'aya ledavar, even though I don't have any concrete proof, zecher ledavar, there is a reference to it. What does it say? Our pasuk, miketz eser shanim l'shevet Avram be'eretz Kena'an. Lilamdecha, to teach you, she'ein yeshivat chutz la'aretz olelo min aminyan. 10 years that you live when? Outside of Israel. They don't count to the 10 number, to the 10. Lefikach, therefore, cholahu, if he got sick during the 10 years, o shechol sehi, or she was sick, o shneim chavushim bebeit ha'asurim, or both of them are held in prison in separate cells. Ein olin min aminyan. Those don't count towards the 10 years because there are other excuses as to why you didn't have a child. Fine. Very nice. Stop right there. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Somebody who lives one's entire life in Chutz La'aretz, based on the Gemara that we just read, would you recommend what the Gemara just said? You don't have any children. It's 10 years. You're living 10 years in Teaneck. Not blessed with a child. Should you divorce the wife and take someone else or not?
No.
Based on this. Okay. So that's how the Rush understood the Gemara.
I didn't hear her.
That there's only a sense of permanence when you go to Israel. This is only a temporary abut. And as a result, Don't ever count the 10 years. The Ramban says that's the biggest mistake you can possibly make. If somebody has no plans on making Aliyah and never implements it, then the 10-year count starts when you got married, and 10 years later in Teaneck, New Jersey, the 10 years are up. What does this Gemara mean in terms of that Eretz Yisrael doesn't count? Excuse me, that the years you lived in Chutz La'aretz doesn't count? That's if you made Aliyah. Why? Because under those circumstances, maybe the merit of that mitzvah alone would now change HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind and grant you an opportunity to have a child, even though one has not had one up until now. But if one plans, has no intention of making Aliyah under those circumstances, then the 10-year cycle counts from the time you were married until after 10 years. And anyone who interprets it the way we did, says the Ramban, Eino Ela Ta'ut Gidola. We'll see that the Ramban says that's the biggest mistake. You don't know how to read the Gemara. Even though our natural impression was exactly the way the Rush understood it, but the Ramban says we're making a big mistake. And it's not that they don't count, but if you make Aliyah, then you're granted another 10 years because of the fact that perhaps the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael was the additional zechut that someone needed in order to what? To be blessed with a child by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Ramban will say in his second statement. But I just want to conclude with one other important line of the Ramban. Okay, actually, I want you to look at the Radak on page number one, the second bracketed line of the Ramban, where he says, Vayishma Avram. He makes an interesting observation, does the Radak. Lomar, sheyashar be'enav hadavar, he thought that Sarah's suggestion was correct. Velohimtin bazer lidaber ha'el. What did he not do? Seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told me that what? He never stipulated who the mother is going to be. So maybe you would have expected that before Avram engages in undertaking that type of a decision, perhaps build from Hagar instead of Sarai, maybe he should have consulted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he didn't. Because he had so much trust in Sarah's judgment. That's what it says, Vayishma Avram l'kol Sarai. That it overrode any consideration that he may have given. Let me consult with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this great issue. Ki achar shesarai bilta miledet. After Sarai apparently doesn't have the capacity to give birth, ma sheyiado ha'el, that which God shared with him as a promise. Latein lo zera mehagar yiyeh. It's going to wind up being not from Sarai, but from Hagar. The achar sheyishar hadavar be'enei Sarai, yisher gam be'enav. Once Sarah thought it was okay, fine with me, Mrs. Abe. Ve'avram lo hitpalel al Sarah. Avram did not pray for Sarah. Kimosha asa Yitzchak. Oh, hitpalel v'lo ne'eneh. Or he did pray, but he got no answer. What? Ki ratza ha'el laharot ba nifla'otav la'avat Avraham shiteled batishim. God wanted to show him, you know what? You're going to give birth when? Sarah's going to give birth when? When she's 90 years old. Look what I, exactly. So Radak is not 100% certain that Avram prayed or not. And the reason why you can entertain the doubt is the Torah says absolutely nothing. So we have Yaakov definitely not davening on behalf of Rachel. We have Yitzchak definitely davening on behalf of Rivka. And Avram, we're not 100% sure where he fits into this picture. Did he pray? Did he not pray? All we know is that he trusted Sarah's judgment to such an extent is that he's willing to attribute God's promise of a child to him as being perhaps through Hagar and not necessarily through Sarai, which is somewhat of a shock, somewhat of a surprise. Somewhat, you know, we're normally trained to think it's Avram and Sarah and so on and so forth. And Avram wasn't convinced, at least not at this time, that Sarai would ever have a child. And that any child that he produces is the child by which you can say, Lizaracha etain et haaretz hazot. We'll stop here and we will continue next to Bach. What? Right? Okay. Yeah, Rashi said that at the beginning of the parsha.
So that's the point. In other words,
they're on the road. But here, now they find in Lashevet. They're settled. Very good point.
Is Yibum considered Nisuin?
100%.
And is there a ketubah?